So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host. And today's topic is, do you stand out on the web? The Naked Originality Checklist for Conscious Entrepreneurs. So we're going to take a moment just to briefly connect. So take a nice deep breath and exhale.
Oh, do we really have to breathe? Come on.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we certainly do.
I love it.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah. And so just kind of leave behind everything you've been doing today before the call and just bring your attention and awareness to right now. And the gems that you're going to pick up on this call from Jeffrey and Suzanne. And so you might want to have a pad and a piece of pen and a pen nearby just to jot down whatever you're going to be able to pluck up and implement, because there's sure to be things that you can take away from today's call. So welcome, everyone, and thank you for being here, Suzanne and Jeffrey. It's wonderful to have you both.
Great
and
pleasure.
Yeah, I know that you folks have loads of information that you want to share on this call today. So just a heads up to folks that Suzanne and Jeffrey are committed to helping you stand apart and get seriously known for what you do on this earth. And they do it by hooking you up to your own trusted sources. And they help you build a kick-ass platform around that very special gift that you alone can provide. So thank you very much, and welcome both Jeffrey and Suzanne.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Do you want us to introduce ourselves, Adela, more?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Great. My name is Jeffrey Van Dyke, and I am on this earth to heal the ache of those that are meant to change the world, specifically people who have a calling to bring a message to the world and ache to have the most true form of that message come through. So I teach around the world, and I'm in Israel right now, so it's great fun being with you guys, which are probably also all over the world on this call. Really the place that Suzanne and I got into touch with one another and started our relationship was from this place of, gosh, if people really knew why they were here and then could build platform on that and bring their message to the world, the truest message they're meant to deliver out to the world in a way that was allowed them to stand out and get noticed for their gifts, their talents, and their purpose. That's really what we're all about and why I'm on this call.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Suzanne?
And I'm Suzanne Falter-Barnes, and I'm the web's leading expert on building platform, which is carving out your hooky branded niche, the thing you become well-known for, the set of words and the unique offer that define who you are and set you apart. And it's always been an issue for me to build powerful platforms for people because half the time people run and, you know, jump and leap and excel and really expand their businesses with them. And the other half of the time, many people have been afraid of their platforms and had blocks in the way, energetic blocks and interference from pieces of their ego, et cetera, that weren't allowing them to really move forth with the platform. And I am delighted to be working with Jeffrey now because he is really able to help people break through those issues as I help them step into the greatness that can be packaged online for them. And my clients have been called because of, and you'll hear more about this as I speak, but because of the kind of hooky nature of these platforms, my clients do get called cold by a lot of major media outlets, including CNN, PBS, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, you know, 60 Minutes, you name it, they've gotten called. And that is because they stand out so admirably and are so unique, original, and my favorite word, hooky, that they just can't be avoided. Everybody's got to find out who they are.
Yeah, so it sounds
that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, and you have this perfect combination here, Jeffrey dealing with the inner game and you dealing with the outer game and putting it all together, Suzanne and Jeffrey. Great.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I was just going to ask, you know, one of the things that, and this has been a particularly, I think, challenging area for many folks who are conscious entrepreneurs and they're service-oriented and meaning-oriented work, is how to get their work out there in a way, on the web in a way that makes sense. So why is it particularly important now to stand out on the web, Suzanne?
Well, I'll take that if you don't mind, Jeffrey. I did a little probing into it, and I want you to take a stab at how many blogs there are out there, rough guess, as of 2009.
It's got to be in the millions. I know that much.
Mm-hmm. Just guess.
20 million.
150.
Oh, my goodness.
150
wow.
million. And not only that, when you add in microblogs like Twitter profiles and Facebook fan pages, you get 400 million, rough estimate. Isn't that unbelievable?
That's mind-blowing.
So that is where we wanted to start this conversation today.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, do you want to say what you think Naked Originality is really about? Just to kind of get the ball rolling, and why one would want to be nakedly original in a sea of 150 million blogs?
Yeah. Well, if you imagine a whole lineup of people that are all clothes and one is naked, where is your eye going to immediately go? I mean,
exactly.
Let's just be
exactly.
graphic here with the nakedness about it.
That's exactly right.
So on the most basic level, the reason to be naked originally is because you will stand out.
Yeah.
On a much deeper sort of consciousness level, the reason to be nakedly original is because it's a path of consciousness, a path of growth and development to really strip down all that which is not you to that which you are essentially here to give, that only you can give, to find out in great detail who you're meant to serve, what state those people are in, and what they're craving more than anything that you're designed to help give them. The challenge is that it says a lot about you. It is naked.
Mm-hmm.
It's ultimately true about you. And so it oftentimes will bring up fears, concerns, worries about what people will think, or will they ridicule me, or do I really have, am I really able to say that about myself? Our inner critic, our inner judge saying, oh, you can't say that about yourself. So lots of ways we cut ourselves down and keep ourselves from being nakedly original, keep ourselves from really saying that quiet truth that when you whisper it into someone's ear or speak it from a platform that people go, oh, my God, you're speaking to me. Somehow they know me. They know my experience, and because they know me and know my experience, they must know something about helping me move forward.
See, that's the – if I could just bust in, Derry. That's the thing. It's all about finding your little pocket of people because, you know, as I was saying a minute ago, there's so many gazillions of blogs. It's like there's a sea of blogs, and there are a lot of them – are like discrete splinters. They're all these little pockets on the web of populations of, you know, people interested in organic gardening and people interested in holistic dog training and people interested in ADD that's undiagnosed in adults. And, you know, it's like this super niched world of splinters. And, you know, when you think about one of those games with the magnetic filings and the little magnet where you make, like, the little beard around the guy, and you,
mm-hmm.
you remember those games?
Mm-hmm.
If you take the magnet and you put it in a certain spot, only some of the iron filings will go to that magnet. And that's really what we're out to do here. And to do it, it's what Jeffrey said. It's like you've got to tap in, you've got to know your market deep, super, super deep. And then you have to be able to tap into a craving that specific audience has. That is, in fact, a matchup with your destiny, right work, blessing. Can you wave the purpose wand here, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I'll wave a purpose wand. So in some of the purpose work, part of what we have people find information about is exactly who they're meant to serve, the state people are in when they're meant to serve them. So if you think about this great sea of people that you could serve, okay, well, then there's a certain subset of those people that are meant for you to bless them, meant for you to serve them. And even within that subset of people, there's a certain time in their life when they're in a specific state where they really, really, really need you. And it's at that time when you meet them and they meet you and they're just in the right place that they go, oh, my God, you're exactly who I need. And so that's really about knowing who you're meant to serve in such detail that you could actually paint a very vivid picture of who they are. When I talk to people about my blessing, about who I'm meant to serve, I talk to them about aching to deliver something to the world. And the phenomenon of having that calling within you get louder and louder and louder, but having some parts of you resist the calling. You know, who am I to do that? Will I be able to make enough money? What will people think? I'm going to get eaten up by them if I really expose myself. And as the calling gets louder and louder and the resistance gets louder and louder in return, they amp up to a place where there's a great sense of ache. And my work in the world is really to take them into that ache, help them heal it, and find their purpose and bring it to the world. I say that to give you an example of just, you know, in 1 minute, about what it's like to describe someone in a really specific state. I would take it a step further to say primarily I work with messengers who are in the aching state, people who ache to deliver a truer message to the world. Now, that's hyper-niched. That's one of those splinters of the splinter. And when you can do that and say it in a really clear, concise way, that someone else who's in that state can hear you and go, oh, wow, that's me. Now, suddenly, you move from having to do sales and marketing to just speaking the nakedly original truth, having it resonate in the marketplace with those that need to hear it, and have them move towards you just like the magnets that Suzanne was just talking about.
You know, here's what's interesting about this, and this is where the platform building piece comes in and sort of my special sauce, which is that I help people take that you know, basic, you know, craving and package it in a way that the market will actually understand it and want it. Because where I think a lot of conscious entrepreneurs fall down is that they develop these processes. Maybe they're just out of, you know, coach training school, or maybe they're holistic healers of one kind or another, or they're, you know, conscious business entrepreneurs, and they have these systems and these, you know, things that they do for people that are very powerful processes which they love. The problem is they think they're selling the process. And what they're actually selling is this great benefit. And that benefit is what taps into this craving, and that stems from this blessing or this purpose that Jeffrey's talking about. So ideally, the whole thing, to have a really nakedly original presence online, it begins with your blessing, it goes into really understanding what this craving is about, and it comes out as a really hooky offer that taps into that craving. And I want to give you some examples, if I could. Did you have anything more you wanted to say about the purpose stuff, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I'll just say one last piece that Suzanne's getting at, which is people buy the destination, not the plane. And we as service providers get seduced by our service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I do this amazing healing technique, and here's how I do it, and you know, well, who cares on some level? People aren't looking for some amazing technique. They're looking for a result. There's something in their life that they perceive as not working, and you are the divine solution for that. And if you know how to speak about that result in a way that they can hear you and understand and know that you're the right person, It doesn't matter what technique you use. You know, when I talked about my purpose, you don't know what sort of coach training I have, or if I'm NLP-based, or if I'm a therapist, or something else. All you know is he knows me.
That he that's knows me thing, that's great. I mean, that's really what tapping into the craving is. And that's what the really skillful people at the top of the heap are doing. They're identifying where they mash up with you because they know who you, what I like to call the divine market, is. You know, in our work, what Jeffrey and I have really uncovered is that there is this market, and it isn't just like this neck up, okay, let me choose the people who earn, you know, $150,000 a year, live in urban centers, and formerly had a, you know, career in technology. It's like, yeah, maybe it's that, but it's a lot more because it's a divine market. It's a market who you are karmically linked to. You know, these are people that you have a very specific role to play with. And there's going to be a population of them, and you're going to introduce yourselves to that population, and they're going to start to sift out the ones that really say, oh, yeah, I do have that link with her. That's really what this new paradigm marketing is all about. Our new paradigm marketing is our desire to step into this shift in the planet, in the consciousness, in the culture, the great turning, some people call it, the great shift, other people call it. It's the age of enlightenment, whatever, however you see it. Our goal here is to provide you with the marketing tools to be able to be congruent with that shift. And as more and more people come into awareness of these sort of subtle shifts that are happening, more and more people are going to be looking for the entrepreneur who is selling them purpose-based information that really is more than just kind of a neck up, you know, looking for the gaps in the market kind of approach, but is really heart-based and really full of soul, essentially. Do you know what we mean by that, Adela?
Yeah, absolutely. That's how my business has grown. Just by doing what I did at the beginning, which was just starting with a connection exercise. You know, people resonate with me because that's how I start my calls.
Good.
And so that's how it's grown.
That's good.
And it's also talking about what both you and Jeffrey are mentioning here, about not being, you know, afraid to be who you are, because that is exactly what attracts those, you know, those splinters of people that we're talking about.
Right.
So, yeah.
So let's give some examples. I have some platform examples that I've worked on over the years that I think are just beautiful examples of this whole naked originality model, you know, because you want to give some concrete examples so people know what we're talking about. And the first one I wanted to do is just give you a little before and an after. The before was a picture of, you know, a stylish-looking little blog, and the brand was Gaia.com, G-A-I-A.com. Gaia, kind of, you know, it's an ancient word, and some people know what it means and some people don't. But this was selling consulting services, and it looked, the copy led one to believe it was a pretty general consulting business. When this client came to me to turn this business around, it wasn't really doing much for her. She was not getting the consulting business she wanted. People didn't really understand the brand. They didn't go to the site and understand that the hook was anything special and unique. And what she turned it into was a blog called Escape from Cubicle Nation. Mm-hmm. Now, what's beautiful about that is that she identified what her purpose really was, which was to help the people stuck in corporate America who want to get out. It turned out she'd been playing for the wrong team. She'd been working with all these corporate executives trying to help them tame their teams, when in fact her heart was really with the teams. And she really wanted to help the people who were feeling stuck in corporate America and did not want to be team players and wanted to escape and create their own businesses. Those were the people that she realized she was actually really here to serve. So you may have heard of this blog because it's a very popular blog. It's one of the top 4,000 out there, out of 150 million, thank you. And a great deal of that success came to her within the first 18 months of developing the blog. when we put Escape from Cubicle Nation together, she quickly started getting attention. This is Pam Slim we're talking about, if you know Pam. She quickly put this beautiful little viral video together that really explained her position. And her position was, hey, you know, you need to, if you need to make a break, you need to make a break. You need to, you know, tell the corporate powers that be when you are ready to leave and you need to go forth and conquer and not be afraid of your greatness and really step into the opportunity. And it was a beautiful, emotional, hooky video that got her some big-time exposure, and she quickly started getting up to 20,000 unique visitors a month on her blog, which is huge. Not long after that, she started getting media coverage. CNN, Fast Company featured her, Entrepreneur, USA Today, Psychology Today, several of the major city newspapers. Then she got a call from an agent in New York who represented a big publisher. And last year, just about a year ago, she published her first book. And all of that came to her through this very hooky, unique blog in which she really identified and began to live out her blessing. And it was really expressed in words that really hooked people in. In addition,
yes, and then,
I'll
just say what I love about that is the naked originality piece is saying the thing that might be considered unpopular to say, or that you shouldn't say, or that other people aren't saying. It's said both in the title of the blog, Escape. That's the craving. I want to escape, and she names it right there in the title of the blog.
That's right.
Right? And then the viral video says that one thing that everybody wants to say and nobody is. It reminds me of, if we're talking about childhood games, it reminds me of Operation.
Yeah.
Right? that old game Operation. It goes zing when you hit the thing. It makes that sound.
Right.
And it's like she hit something that went zing in the marketplace because she was willing to say it and be naked, the original.
Yes. Exactly. Let me throw out a couple of other little nakedly original brands real quick, and then let's go on and talk, you know, break it down, like what is this naked originality thing? And one of the brands that I created that I feel is really wonderfully unique and right on purpose is something called the Rebel Bell. When that client came to me, she just wanted to do creativity coaching. But what's really cool about her is that she's from the Deep South. And she's a real Southerner, and she really understands the Southern culture and particularly Southern women. And as we started to shave it down, it turned out she wanted to do more than just creativity coaching, which, by the way, a lot of people do creativity coaching. So how is that going to be found in a sea of creativity coaches? Well, it's not. So what we did was we packaged her brand around her Southernness. And it became the Rebel Bell because she realized that was her special gift that she could bring to this self-expression coaching. And it became a bold new, I'm forgetting her USP, her tagline. It was a bold Southern voice for self-expression. And, you know, it was just enough to set her apart that she actually really started to get some beautiful kind of entrenchment from that. Another is my client, Harry King, who is a retirement coach and had been, you know, kind of slogging along trying to break through as a retirement coach. Now, there are a lot of retirement coaches out there, right? So
mm-hmm.
when we went deeper into who Harry is and what really makes him passionate in life, it became clear that, in fact, Harry is a black belt, world champion black belt in karate, can, you know, break 7 and 8 boards in a single chop. He's also a skydiver, has kayaked the length of North Carolina and South Carolina. I mean, he's just an amazing guy. And all of this he's done over the age of 60. Now what he does, we niched this business down for him further, so now who he talks to is sort of former type A executives who are now retired and they're afraid of losing their edge. So that's a really discreet corner of this retirement coaching, and what I love is It's a bunch of guys who presumably retired with pretty good compensation packages and have the money to hire a coach and are interested in playing a high-level game. They're highly motivated like he is. They're competitors like he is. You know, this is a really good example of resonating in that particular way. And in all of these three examples, we've really touched on the fact that these are people who coach from the place where they are most passionate in life. You know, do you want to add anything to that, JVD? Or am I just rolling? Because I can roll.
Yeah, just keep rolling.
Okay. So I wanted to take in this question of what is naked originality and what does it mean for you? What's it require? Okay, so naked originality, if you kind of process those examples and think about it, you notice that it really requires someone to be brave enough to stand out on the net for what they believe in. You know, what it's about what you believe in. What you believe in, what you're fired up by, what you're passionate about.
And also sometimes, I'll say it's what you're passionate about, what you believe in. It also comes from your history.
Hmm.
It comes from your experience. So it can also be related to your challenges, your wounds, the things you've gone through in life that have built you into the person you are today, where there are others that need a guide to walk through a similar path.
That's perfect. That is great, because one thing we've both really noticed in our work separately and especially together is that when you get these lessons that are delivered to you, you begin to realize that they are the lessons you then need to teach others. And it's not you necessarily that you need to teach the lesson right now that you're going through, but probably not long into the future will you be teaching this lesson, or could you be pulling that lesson from your past? We are here to teach what we have learned, because then we really are empathetic and, you know, deeply understanding that market craving, if you remember back to that. Another piece of this is being congruent. Being congruent in your life, which allows you to channel spirit more effectively. Now, what does being congruent mean? Being congruent means being right in your life, being in the place you want to be in, being in the relationship you want to be in, honoring who you are at your most authentic core, not being content to just get along with an okay situation, but a really rich situation which completely honors your work and allows you to step forth like the, you know, Olympic athlete of your particular niche that you are. If you have a very high standard for how you choose to live your life and how you choose to bring about your existence, that'll be reflected in the quality of work that you put out and the number of people you bring to you and the impact and the business that you're able to generate.
This is having who you are and what you do match up.
Yeah, that's nicely put, dear.
Yeah, and there's no area of your life, whether it's your business work or your personal life, that isn't a mesh. There isn't anywhere where you're not.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
It's all a big kind of tapestry you're weaving, and we want all the threads to be strong. And it's really essentially a right relationship, and Jeffrey, I really want you to speak to this point, between the ego and the soul that helps you lose some of your fear so you can step forth most authentically.
Yeah. I love this.
I know you love this.
This is one of my most favorite pieces of content.
Yeah.
And more than content, way of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, presumably, our purpose comes from the realm of the soul, divine guidance, however you name it. And what I know for a lot of conscious business owners is that we are soul-based people. And sometimes for some of us, we sort of like to ignore the ego or demean it or try to diminish it or kill it off. And I remember being with my friend Marcia Weider once for lunch, and she looked me dead in the eyes, and she said, "Jeffrey, if it's in you, it's divine." And that was one of the things that has stayed with me forever. So then I started having to look at, how is my skeptic divine? How is the part of me that holds me back every time I want to take the next leap divine? And gosh, can I actually build a relationship with those different aspects of myself and find the answer to that, such that I honor all parts of myself, honor every aspect of my being? And in some of the deeper work that Suzanne and I do together, we actually help people do a reformat of the relationship between the ego and soul, a reformat of their psyche, where the psyche gets to take another look at, oh, what is this purpose? What is this platform? What's this calling? And, you know, where did, let's say, the skeptic come from? Well, I had a really skeptical dad, and every time I would dream, he would tell me to get my feet on the ground. So I needed to build a skeptic to keep dad's love. Okay, great. Best option I had at, you know, 8 years of age or 4 years of age, but I'm at a different place now. And what did that skeptic really want from me? It wanted me to be loved. And so if I can get back in touch with that aspect of myself, find out where it came from, what it wanted at that time, and what it wants now, then we can look, me and this part of myself, and say, well, how is it going these days? Still working? Is that old strategy from childhood still working? And if not, what would be the new strategy that would work for it and for you? And over time doing this work, what happens is all the different parts of you are working together, where your ego is doing your soul's purpose in a way that the ego likes. And that's the ultimate win-win, that your ego and your soul, or your ego and your purpose, or your ego and your divine guidance are in right relationship together. Because at the end of the day, your soul is pure beingness. Your soul just knows how to be. In fact, your soul doesn't need any of this stuff. Your soul doesn't need to know your purpose. It already does. So this is all, on some level, a gift to your ego. And by the way, the way I define ego is simply the part of you responsible for getting your needs met.
Isn't that a refreshing definition? Because, you know, ego has taken, like, such a bum rap. Ego's been this terrible thing you want to repress. And by the way, isn't it amazing that on a call about niching yourself on the web, we're talking about your ego?
It's perfect.
It is.
Yeah.
I often ask people, like, okay, if you're going to niche yourself and do your work in the world, what part of you is going to dial the phone number to get you onto this conference call? What part of you is going to book clients and write the book that you're here to write? What part of you is going to do all this? Well, it's your ego, because your ego does live in the realm of doing. So it's not a matter of having this part of you that's awful and needs to be destroyed. It's just a matter of having that part of you be in alignment with what you're after and what you're called to do in life. And
right.
So that's, on, as far as I'm concerned, one of the deepest levels of congruence, that all parts of you are in alignment with who you're here to serve, and that you're doing service in a way that actually acknowledges your own needs at the same time.
Yeah, it's about integration. Beautiful, Jeffrey. Yeah.
So let's just wrap up one more point on this section about, you know, what this naked originality really requires. And the last piece of this is something that's really coming up again and again and again in my own conversations right now with marketers around spiritual marketing, is vulnerability. The audacity to speak your truth as your truth without apology, and really allow yourself to feel a little afraid, and really be, as Jeffrey said in the beginning, stark naked in front of people, because what they want to know is you. You know, the media created these false personas from, oh, I don't know, the beginning of television forward for people that gradually became ever so slightly more real. You know, when you think of, you know, kind of the Lucille Ball era, then back to kind of Farrah Fawcett, and, you know, you kind of like leapfrog through the history of TV, you see us very gradually beginning to emerge and then landing with a thud in the middle of the 90s with reality TV. And, of course, TV is still a really false medium to some degree, but I think what the thrust has been more and more and more, and particularly even around advertising and how, you know, advertising's evolved, television advertising particularly, is that there's just such a craving for people to be real and people to be authentic and people to just be who they are, because we want to know you. So where is your truth and where do you find it? And we actually did do create something called the Naked Originality Checklist, which I think we should probably jump to in just a sec, Jeffrey, so we have enough time to really go through it. But just quickly, your truth lies in your opinion. And it may fly in the face of conventional logic, and it's also guided. Those are kind of the keys, you know, and that guided piece is really, you know, the manifestation of your purpose or your blessing, you know. It needs to be seen as this guided, powerful urge within, you know, that thing that you love, that you care about, that you want to express, that's just deep in your soul waiting to be poured out to people. That is guided, friends, and that is where you're going to begin to build this more powerful platform, which comes from your own naked originality. Shall we go through the checklist? What do you say, dear?
Sure, let's do it.
Hey, did you want to add anything to what I was just
saying? I'll add it after we go through the checklist.
Great. So you're going to, if you really keep in mind that you're talking to a specific group of people in this model of marketing, your people, and that they have this concrete set of needs, let's start to think about what you could express to those people. And while we're at it, let's take a look at where you're at now online. You know, is your work right now original and hooky enough to stand out online? If we go through the Naked Originality Checklist, what we'd say is, first of all, you're a little bit afraid of it. There's like a little, like, we're slightly out of our comfort zone expressing this thing we're expressing. In one way, it feels really right in the gut, but in another way, it's like, ooh, somebody actually could, like, you know, sit up and take notice of this. I'm feeling a little nervous, you know?
I'm going to be seen.
What'd you say?
I'm going to be seen.
I'm going to be seen. And it's,
I want it. No, I don't. I want it.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I don't.
Exactly. Another piece of this Naked Originality Checklist is when you put this work out there, and you really put this work out that's in your soul, you doubt if there are times when you really doubt if anyone's going to resonate. When I first started writing songs, Jeffrey and I are both actually performers, and back in my earlier days, I was a cabaret performer in New York, and I performed mostly original songs. And the first time I ever sang any song I had written, I was shocked to find that the audience laughed, and the lyrics were actually kind of funny, and it was appropriate that they should laugh. But it was shocking to me that they actually got the joke. It was amazing and shocking, and because I really didn't think anybody would like it or believe in it or want to respond to it. I thought they were just going to talk through my songs, you know. It's that inner doubt. There's this, friends, is the vulnerability piece we're talking about.
The next piece is that you were in the flow at some level when you created it. That moment where you're just receiving and in that flow, and something, or maybe just a moment when something pops and you go, oh my gosh, I just had an idea. That's it. Or you woke up knowing something new And it was super exciting maybe when you first got it, and then you thought about saying it to others, maybe you were a little scared. But on some level, you were in the flow when you created it. It felt guided as you received it. And it feels really true and really, really you.
Mm. Yep. You also will feel, and we've pointed this out already, but we're going to say it again, you're going to feel a little exposed sharing it with others. That maybe there's a piece of you in this work that it hasn't been obvious till now. Maybe there's something about you that you have not expressed. A little sense of humor people didn't know you had, a passion or an interest or a piece of yourself that just somehow needs to be exposed now.
A few other things here. Some part of you knows there's magic in it. Mm. And others might tell you you're brave when you go and speak about it and do it, but you just feel like it's just the truth. It's just you, and perhaps you have no other choice but to deliver this message to the world.
Mm. Yeah, that no other choice thing for sure. You know, like you know you could not share it, but to not share it would be a horrible disservice to you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to skip on here. There's another one that I love. If you feel really great, perhaps even proud, sharing this work with someone it's truly meant for, mm-hmm. and simultaneously may feel a bit embarrassed to share it with those it's not meant for, including people you've known in other parts of your life, your family, your colleagues, someone in another area of your life, and that those people that have known you for a while, perhaps, that you've been seen or known as someone other than who you are when you speak about this new language or this deeper truth that you're here to bring out to
right.
the world.
There's also a really beautiful pride to sharing this piece of you and to sharing this work with whom it's meant for. You may feel a little embarrassed to share it with those it's not meant for, say, you know, parental family, you know, cousins, people who knew you in the past, your former corporate colleagues, etc. But what is really interesting about that is that when you share that work that's deep in your heart, and people who you aren't really intending for it to get to do get the work and they approach you, you may be surprised by what they say. I had this experience when I published my first novel called Doing the Box Step. And it was a book that was really critical of the very kind of waspy, stuffy community I grew up in. And I exposed some secrets of the community. Alcoholism, abuse, et cetera, things that were kind of going on behind closed doors. And I remember the secretary of the headmistress of my girls' school that I went to came up to me at a book signing, and she said, "I'm so glad you wrote that book because it spoke to so many people like me who never felt like we fit in." And that was just such a powerful thing for this woman to tell me this. And it really made me realize the value of being nakedly original. The value is that you touch people on this deep level because you're the one who's speaking the truth. You're the one who's really bringing in the deeper vulnerability. And that vulnerability is, in fact, where your power lies. This work causes others to be vulnerable and honest as well. And that's what they're craving, right?
Yeah. That piece is so critical, Suzanne, that you being nakedly original actually causes others to be vulnerable as well.
Yeah.
And them touching into their own tenderness, their own vulnerability, their own truth is what has them resonate and magnetize to you as the person who will continue to draw them into their own truth. And, you know, regardless of what your business is, that is the new paradigm connection that you then build business on top of or integrated through.
Yep. Yep. I'm making notes as we go because I'm getting insights as we teach this. So
let's just go through a few of the last ones and
we'll
take questions in a bit.
You are not going to be able to continue living your life in the same way or perhaps even with the same people as you did before once you really surrender to your naked originality. You know, it's a desire to get out there that shifts you up, that changes your vibration, that makes you bigger.
That's a path of consciousness through business.
Jeffrey?
Yeah. I was just saying that's the path of consciousness through business, that anything can be a path of consciousness.
Yeah.
And so here you are on this call because you're choosing to use the path of business as a path of consciousness. And when you're nakedly original, part of the consequences of that in this path of consciousness is that you won't be able to live the same life you've lived before. You will have to be more truthful, be more honest, be known, be seen, even by your neighbor.
Mm.
So that is part of this growth and development that I'm going to assume most people on this phone have committed their lives to, and that's why they're choosing to try to find this mashup, this integration, this interweaving between spirituality, business, and making it in the world, having success, being a spiritually based business owner.
This is a really key thing because you need support to be able to do that. You know, yes, you want to hide out, you know, sometimes, but you know it's in your best interest to keep on going. And in fact, once you really get into this work and you surrender more to it, you simply can't not do it. You have to do it. And to do that, it helps to have like-minded community around you. It helps to have support tools from mentors or other people who would really nudge you along lovingly and help you with your true emergence. It's a process and it's a delivery of your destiny. That is really, you know, what's at play for people. You know, that's what this work is.
Yeah, and you know, Suzanne and Jeffrey, one of the things that I've noticed ever since I started, you know, gathering with these conscious business folks is that what seems to be really bad news, you know, with the economic downturn, with a lot of the things that have happened on Wall Street, et cetera, those breaking down of those old systems has really created this opportunity for people to really step out and create businesses that can be a wave of a new way of being. And just like Jeffrey was saying, one of the things that I was saying to one of my clients is one of the quickest paths for personal transformation is to start your own business. Because the minute that you do, all of the things that are ready for you to evolve and for you to shift are going to show up. Mm-hmm. And as you handle those things, as you engage those things, I mean, you grow and your business grows.
Yeah. Totally right.
Phenomenally. And we do have a question here. I don't know if you're ready for a question yet.
Yeah, we are. We have a little something to share with people at the end as well.
Cool. This is from Gina Diane in Vancouver. She's saying that she actually had a breakthrough listening to the idea that potential clients are karmically linked to her. And she's got a question. Can you expand on attracting potential clients in a naked way?
Well, for me, the process involves platform. And what the opportunity is to go into really uncovering what your mission, you know, purpose, blessing is, who you're really here to serve, what they're craving. And then, you know, when I build platform with people, I do a whole piece around discovering who your niche mates are. That's what we call competitors, you know, your buddies in the niche. And what are the niche mates offering that you are not offering? What are you going to offer that they have not yet offered? You know, I like a business conversation that has some guardrails around it and parameters. It's you know, there's so many pieces to this whole work of business. I mean, from there you go into what your offer is and what your brand is, et cetera. You know, I can't give a quick and easy answer to that. But what I will say is there are spiritual components to every aspect of our business, from branding to, you know, pricing. I mean, Jeffrey and I are our next class we're going to teach is around spiritual pricing and helping people figure out how to use their guidance to set prices that actually work for them. Because, you know, earning money is a huge issue for people who are really spiritually guided in business, which is a paradigm that's shifting. It's got to shift for us to really live in a new age.
Ego and soul.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's as much of an answer as I can give right now, but I would say the starting place is get clear on the market and who that market is and just, you know, go deep into your heart with that. You know?
Yeah. I'll add one quick thing, and that is this truth that you are here to speak in the world that will ring in somebody else's ear and have them draw to you is the place to start in terms of that karmic linkage. Mm-hmm. Speaking the truth that you are here to speak in a way that others can hear you, and part of the branding and platform piece is having them hear you in a way that will make sense to them. But that's really the place, is to see what's inside of you that needs to be said and then bring it out to the person over there in a way that they will be hear you and care.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Are there other questions?
No, not at this time. So I'd love if you'd just go into a little bit about what's next for you both.
Well, we are rapidly putting together a lot of cool things, and we have a class we're going to be teaching, which is not yet open for registration, partly because we want to learn more from people about what they would like from this class. So we're inviting, in a nice little model of the new paradigm way of co-creating your programs and processes with your market, we were wondering if the folks on the call would be willing to answer 10 questions for us in a very short survey in exchange for my Coming Out of Hiding program as a gift, which is a 2-CD. We'll give you the downloads. I'm not going to ship it to you, but I'll give you the downloads. And it's a 2-hour audio series on coming out of hiding, which you can have totally for free when you give us some feedback around our program we're developing called Spiritual Pricing That Sells, how to set the right price in the right way so you get what you're worth. We just want to really make sure we're shaping this thing to serve people to the highest good. So if you go to getknownnow.com/S like Sam, P like Peter, S like Sam, you'll wind up there. It's getknownnow.com/SPS. That's S like Sam, P like Peter, S like Sam. It's really a short survey, and it leads you right to your download link. You just, you know, give us your name and little info, and we get that survey from you. And it will help us craft this class, which is going to be launched next month as part of a bigger body of work we're doing called the Spiritual Marketing Quest, or Spiritual Business Quest. So thank you,
Suzanne. Let me just say
a
few quick things about the program,
just so
people get a sense of it. Because it might help them make sense of, oh, gosh, what do I want out of this? And does this seem like they're speaking to me? Again, the originality piece. So this is going to be about internal and external congruence around pricing and sales, particularly about getting clear about different alternative new paradigm pricing models, using your spiritual guidance to pick the right one, and then doing the internal work around your personal sense of worth and value that has impact on your pricing. The ultimate result, the ultimate goal of this program is that you're pricing things in a way that really works for you, really works for the people you're meant to serve, that the entire thing is congruent, and that it's all guided.
Mm.
This is an ego win, a soul win, a win for you and a win for the client, what I call a win-win-win-win. So that's really the ultimate output of this thing. You have the opportunity to help shape what different types of things we add into it, because we have a lot of body, a lot of work that we can add into it, and we want to really deliver the right thing for you.
Yeah,
thank you.
So let me give that URL one more time. It's getknownnow.com/SPS. And the link is on the speaker's page, and I'll also send it in a follow-up email, as I usually do.
Thank you, Adela.
Yeah, thank you. It's been wonderful to have you both here.
Yeah, such fun chatting with you and letting us come in and do our nakedly original thing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I also wanted to let folks know that a copy of that originality checklist is also on the speaker page if you wanted to go over those points, which were really key points that really they're signposts and let you know that you're in the right playground for your work. So thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you for being at the Conscious Business Telesummit. And thank you, everyone, for being on the call today. Take care, and we'll see you later on. Bye-bye.